God called him, sent an angel when he was worshiping at the temple, and prophesying to him that him and his wife Elizabeth would have a baby that would be a forerunner to Jesus, that would prepare the people for the Messiah. And then we looked at Mary and the call that she had, that she would be the one that would bring the Messiah into the world. And just looked at her humility and obedience to the Lord and being a faithful servant in that way. Today we're going to look at Joseph. And we don't know a whole lot about Joseph, but we'll talk about what we do know and the call that God made to him and the way in which it went. And Joseph's call was a call to protect. One would think that everyone would be excited to hear that a Savior would be born. If you were in the midst of suffering, oppression, or enslaved, and at that time, everybody was, except for the person who is in control, right? The one who was persecuting the Jewish people. The one who heard the prophecy of a new king being born and was not happy. That one was the current king, Herod. As Matthew records the birth story through Joseph's perspective, a major emphasis of Matthew's is to indicate the moments that are fulfillment of prophecies. And there's several throughout the birth story and obviously a lot more as Jesus' life went on. And so Matthew likes to point out those and his first audience, the first people that would read Matthew's book were the Jewish people. They would know the prophecies. They would recognize when he's pointing them out. They would follow along. They would be enthusiastic about it. Another distinguishing characteristic in Matthew's writing is that he points out Jewish customs that were normal for their beliefs and their normal way of life. He would see those happening in the story, and he would write it down. And so it benefits us to know a little bit of the Jewish custom, to know what was normal to them. It may not be normal for us, but it helps us to understand the story. So keep all of those things in mind as we read through Joseph's call of Christmas. This is in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Go open your Bible about halfway and then go to the right a little bit more. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John each wrote about Jesus and his life, but they had different perspectives. And so most of what we see from Joseph, Matthew wrote about, and that's what we're going to look at today. So Matthew chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David.'" And we're going to interrupt the angel and pause right there before we get to what the message is that he shares. I want to talk about who is Joseph. What do we know about him? Joseph was righteous. He was just. He was faithful. One of those words was probably used in your reading this morning. What it means is he was one who followed divine laws. He was faithful to God. He was righteous in serving the Lord. He followed the law of Moses, the first five books of our Bible. And it was evidenced by his thoughts, by his actions. Because he lived an upright life, because he was just and righteous in his lifestyle, it was not his character to expose his betrothed wife to public reproach. He had the right legally to disgrace her, but that wasn't the heart of the law of Moses or the God that Joseph served. And so we see that very important distinguishing in his story. Joseph was the son of David. So in the different prophecies of the Messiah, the Messiah would come through the line, through the descendants of David. And so Joseph was in that line. You can read his genealogy. Genealogies are interesting and can get long. So if you're ever bored, no, just kidding. It is interesting to see. And so Matthew gives a long genealogy. Luke gives a genealogy as well. And those are interesting to study and look at. But Joseph was the son of David, and he would be the link that would bring Jesus into King David's descendants' ancestry. Third, Joseph was a carpenter for a living. We know this because of Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Jesus is referred to, isn't that the son of the carpenter? Isn't that the carpenter's son? And so Joseph was a carpenter. That word could be translated that he works with his hands. He could have been a stonemason or a metal producer, any of that. Not just a carpenter. So we don't know exactly that he was a carpenter, but that was his line of work. And last, Joseph was a dreamer. God will speak to Joseph in his dreams four times to give instructions in order to protect Mary and baby Jesus, the Messiah. Dreams play a major role in communicating the will of God. I've never had a dream like Joseph's where an angel shows up. I wish I would dream more. I don't even dream weird dreams. I just don't dream at all. I've tried eating bad pizza late at night, and it just doesn't work. I don't know. Other people have dreams all the time. Ben has a dream every night, pretty much. Fun dreams, right? I wish I could dream more and have serious, divine dreams like Joseph. But God communicates in various ways. He spoke in dreams throughout the Old Testament to the prophets and other leaders of that time. He also communicates through visions. And as the case with Mary and Zechariah that we studied, he also sends an angel right physically right there to speak his message. Okay? God, that angel was Gabriel, but God speaks to his people, reveals himself to us, and to Joseph, it was always through a dream. Let's resume our story. So remember, the angel is speaking to Joseph and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, and it's in Isaiah 7:14, he quotes, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means "God with us." And Joseph woke up from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The first call to Joseph was a call to protect Mary's dignity and to preserve the Messiah's prophecy. Joseph had every right to divorce her. Being betrothed, being pledged is more than in our culture, more than an engagement. It was a legally binding relationship. And so he could have divorced her. And naturally, he, like all of us, is he finds out his fiance is pregnant. Well, if it's not me, it must be another man, so I'm going to separate, right? And so he begins to contemplate how he can divorce her privately, quietly, without causing her, great shame in her community. And as he's doing that, God sends a divine messenger to explain and to direct what's happening here. It must have been so clear to Joseph that this was God's will and not a weird dream, right? Joseph wakes up and he obeys. He was faithful to Mary. He recognized a divine call and he followed in obedience. He had probably studied the prophecies. He probably, being so faithful and righteous, he knew and was looking forward to a Messiah coming. So having this angel appear in a dream and explain it this way, he was obedient. This is what I've been looking for, so we're gonna do this. The second call to Joseph is found in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 2. I'd encourage you to read all of it. It's a quick read. There's some interesting details there that I just don't have the time to go through today. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, we'll continue reading. It says that when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. That's in Hosea 11, verse 1. The wise men, the magi had come, and that's a powerful story. When they leave, then the angel appears to Joseph, warns him in a dream. And that call, the second call, is to protect the Messiah. This was more than just get Jesus home from Nazareth and safely. They had traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem because of the census in Luke chapter 2 that he tells us about. Now all of these amazing things had happened with the shepherd and the magi. And God needed a protector for the Messiah. Reading earlier in chapter 2, the story of the Magi coming to worship the baby, the king, Messiah. Herod was the king over Judea, part of the Roman Empire. And Herod finds out from them coming through his town, looking for a Messiah, this king that was going to be born, king of the Jews. Herod, at that moment, was king of the Jews. He was king in that area over the Jews. And when he hears of a large majority of his people and that they believed that someone was to be born who will reign over them and save them and be king over them. And now people from a whole nother country, but it was probably Persia, somewhere in the east, have traveled that far to see this baby. Like, this is a big deal. And Herod, it's not sitting well with him. And in verse 16, it says, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, they don't go back to him, they go on their way, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah, and that's Jeremiah 31, 15, was fulfilled. It says, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Herod was a paranoid man. If there were any threats to his throne, to his kingdom, he simply would eliminate those threats. Secular historians have recorded other acts of tyranny and cruelty, including the execution of some of his own wives and his own children. None of the secular historians mention this tragic decision to hunt down the Messiah. Most likely, we don't know why, but most likely because it was seemingly insignificant. As the Magi told him the prophecy of the baby to be born in Bethlehem and the timing of it under 2 years, Herod directed the massacre of all male children 2 years old and younger in the area of Bethlehem. Based on the population of this small village and the annual birth rate and the high infant death rate at the time, most biblical historians and those who study the demographics of that area estimate the total number who were murdered probably in the 40, 50, maybe 100 person range. Other experts believe it to be a lot more when they say, well, it wasn't just Bethlehem, but kind of the area around it, that it could have been hundreds or thousands, 10,000 children. We don't know exactly. The number doesn't make it any less, you know, heinous of a crime. But unfortunately, compared to other acts that Herod would pull, it was just another thing in this long list of atrocious crimes to fill his ego. That was Herod. So Joseph and Mary are literally running for their lives, for this baby's life, the Messiah, running for his life. Their journey from Bethlehem to what is Egyptian-controlled territory, which would have been outside the jurisdiction of Herod, is why they were heading there. It would have been at least 40 miles, but the nearest larger city, once you cross the Egyptian border, I think it was called Alexandria, was probably another 50 miles beyond that. And remember, previously they had traveled from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem for the census. And so where Jesus would be born, and that is a journey of like 80 miles total. This is a long trip, okay? To be 9 months pregnant, to have the baby, and then taking your newborn, fearing for its life. Joseph was a protector. The third and and fourth call we're going to kind of do together is in Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 19. It says, "After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead.' So he got up, he took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream," that's the fourth one, "he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets that he would be called a Nazarene." This third call was a call to return home and to raise the Messiah. What a great privilege and responsibility, right? We learn a little bit more from Luke's book about the childhood of Jesus, that in Luke 2:40 tells us that the child grew, became strong, he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. That Joseph was faithful to raise Jesus in the faith that he had been raised in, to teach him the ways, the customs, and how to become a man, the strength that it would take, the wisdom and the grace. The travels of Mary and Joseph from Egyptian territory all the way north to Nazareth is more than 140 miles. And so in total, they've traveled in their one horsepower vehicle, probably a donkey, probably the same donkey that's traveled the whole journey. I don't know how often they change their donkey. Does anybody know how often you change your donkey? I don't know. Anyway, so in total, they've probably traveled 250 to 300 miles. We don't know how far into Egypt they went, so it could have been more than that. And could you imagine settling in at home? You're back at your bed, right? What you're used to and the living that you've made there. And baby Jesus, every morning, I don't know if he cried a lot. I don't know if he threw fits when he didn't get the toys that he wanted, right? We don't know. He was a perfect child, so he probably didn't do any of that, right? Mary and Joseph, as they would cradle the baby, as they would rock the baby, weeks go by, and they probably would reminisce of this journey that just took place. And this baby, this Messiah that they were entrusted with. The couple was faithful to raise Jesus. Luke goes on to say that Mary treasured all these things that happened and she pondered them in her heart. Weeks, months, years go by and they're faithful to take him to the synagogue for worship, just like we come to church. They would take him to the main Jewish temple in Jerusalem at least yearly, probably more often. A funny thing happens. I referenced this a couple weeks ago, that when Jesus turns 12 and they go back to Jerusalem for the Passover, and it's this huge celebration, and they have a whole caravan going down from Nazareth, all of their family going down. So it wasn't just Mary and Joseph, but they're in the temple worshiping, and then it's time to go home, and they forget Jesus, like the Son of God. You've been entrusted with raising the Messiah, and they lose him for probably a couple days before they figure out and return to Jerusalem. You can read that story in Luke chapter 2. So they were human, just like us. They made mistakes. But powerful lessons can be learned from Joseph, as we've talked about him today, from Mary. We talked about her a couple weeks ago. From that point on, we don't know much more at all about Joseph or even about Jesus until his ministry begins when he's around 30 years old. But we can learn from the call of Joseph. First thing we can learn is we need to be living a righteous life and serving God, studying his word, listening for him. God didn't just send an angel and say, oh, just pick someone, I don't know, let's do a lottery, that guy right there, just go into his dream. No, God picked Joseph, who is faithful, and he was obedient. He had been serving the Lord for a long time, and he was ready. God knew he would be one that would say, yes, I'll be your faithful servant. I'll protect your baby. God could have dropped, Jesus could have just come as a 30-year-old man, like dropped in the desert wilderness and showed up. But God wanted him to be human, right? And so he was born the same way we were, raised just like we have, dependent on a mother and a father and others. And God chose Joseph to protect this Messiah. We need to be ready to follow. We need to be able to discern the voice of God. That when God calls to us, when God speaks to us, we're not confused by any other voices. We're not distracted by any other voices. We're not listening to anything else, but we're in tune to God and his Holy Spirit to speak to us, to move us, to direct us. Second, we can learn from Joseph, we need to be willing to do what he calls us to do. God's not going to send another Messiah, so ladies, you don't have to worry about, he might ask you to carry the child, or men, we don't have to worry about. He's not going to send another Messiah. But he asks us to minister and to tell others about Jesus. I just remembered a silly lyric to a song that Mary was the first one to carry the gospel, right? She carried Jesus literally. But we're told we need to take Jesus to others. We need to tell other people the gospel, the good news that Jesus, our Savior, our salvation, our hope, our peace, our reconciliation with God. We need to share that message with others. We need to minister to others. We need to do what God calls us to do. And when God says, and we're ready to listen, and we recognize his voice, and he prompts us to do this, whatever it is, whatever it could be, we need to be willing and ready to say, yes, I'll do that. Most importantly, Joseph knew Jesus was more than a son. He was a savior. He was Joseph's savior. Mary understood that as well. That this child, this baby that they were rocking to sleep, that was dependent upon them, that they were dependent upon him, that he would grow to be a Messiah, their Savior. Joseph saved Jesus from Herod's massacre, but Jesus saves Joseph from his sin and brings him his eternal salvation. Joseph knew Jesus. We need to know Jesus. The most important call any of us receive is Jesus Christ calling to you to follow him. Revelation 3:20, I've referred to that a few times in this Christmas season, that Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts. He's calling to us. He wants a relationship with us. We're so burdened by our sin, he wants to set us free from that. He's the only one that can, because he died for our sins, that we could have eternal life with him. Would the worship team come, and we're going to close out our service. I want to encourage you today. Think about, meditate on these things. What's God speaking to you? If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we can do that today. You can confess your sins and your need for him as Jesus into your heart today and answer that call. Maybe God has been prompting you to do something, and it's hard, it's heavy. Could you imagine the weight of responsibility on Mary and Joseph? The verses just quickly say he woke up and obeyed and did it. Oh man, wouldn't that be a hard decision daily to make? Like, now they're after him to kill him. Now I got to run to Egypt. I'm not from Egypt. That's a whole other world, a whole other country. It's scary, some of the things that God may be calling us to do. People he's calling us to talk to, right? Or places to minister. We need to submit to the Lord as faithful servants and be willing. Maybe you've wondered, I have this question a lot. How do you hear from God? How does God speak to us? When we have so many other distractions happening in our life, if we're not tuned in, right? If we're not focused on him, if we have so many other things and reading his Bible and praying is kind of on the back burner, that's why you have to go through all these filters to get to his voice. Bring his voice to the front of the line. Maybe that's what you need to do today, is realign your priorities of spending time with God. The way we recognize each other's voice when someone calls on the phone and, hey, Pastor Kevin, I recognize voices because I know those people, right? If you want to recognize God's voice, you got to know him and spend time with him and read his word, pray, stand with us. And today, Heavenly Father, God, I just love you, Lord, and thank you for being a living God that speaks and moves and directs, guides, and leads us, Lord. I pray for each person in this room today, God, if they don't know you yet, God, that today would be their day. Lord, if they're hearing something and they're just not sure if it's you and how whatever it is would actually happen, Lord, clarify in them today. Give them confidence that you're calling them to say something or to help someone or to do something, to go somewhere. Help them to know it's you. And that if we're having a hard time hearing your voice, hearing from you at all, help us that this is a great time, a great season to realign our priorities, God. It's not the amount of things we're staying busy with or the amount of work that we're doing to get enough money. God, it's all about you, Lord. Help us to reprioritize our life, God, that the things that we can still work, we can still do those things. We just need to do them second and third and fourth. God, help us to pray more, to read your word more. Help us to be able to recognize your voice. You're Emmanuel, you're God with us. you're with us, that when we spend time with you, you're with us. So I pray for that today. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus into your life, you can pray. I'd love to help you pray that prayer. If you would just raise your hand at this moment, I'm not going to ask you to come forward or confess anything out loud, but I just want to know, and I can just help you to pray that prayer right now. If you would like to pray and begin that relationship with Jesus, would you raise your hand to me today? The rest of you, we're going to close in a song, and I'm going to open the front here. I'll be here to pray with you if there's something that you would like me to pray with. But let's spend this song time in prayer to our